Which I think reflects quite accurately on what they were doing back in 2016.
Brennan was also asked who else we can expect to see at hearings in the near future.
Well, we're going to go through. We've received a list from the Intelligence Committee of literally dozens of people. We're going through that list now and determining which ones are our priority. I think I would rather leave it at that, but certainly we will also be talking to Director Comey and former Attorney General Lynch.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business, and worth noting, Brennan had been very active on Twitter criticizing the president. Now it's been almost a week since he sent out a tweet. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News.
President Trump took to Twitter to warn the Iranian president that he will face dire consequences if he continues to threaten the United States. Congressman Doug Collins on what message Iran should take from the president's tweets.
Well, I think it means that they can no longer manipulate a weak and meandering president that they had in President Obama, who just wanted to apologize to the world and be a weak link in basically a security chain. When you face a bully, when you face someone who wants to say one thing on one side and then seed death and destruction around the world on another, they do not need to be played with. They need to be stood up to.
Members of the House and Senate are working on a phase two to President Trump's tax cut plan. Congressman Steve Scalise on what that plan would entail.
The plans to continue focusing on getting the economy moving, seeing this great economic growth, and then locking it in. We're going to bring some more bills to cut taxes. We're going to make the tax cuts permanent.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing health care costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
A man charged in a crash that killed a Dallas police officer during a funeral procession is out on bond. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
Suspect Adrian Breedlove is charged with intoxication manslaughter. He's accused of plowing into Senior Corporal Jamie Gibbons. Gibbons was at the time blocking an Interstate 20 ramp for the funeral escort of a fellow officer on Saturday morning. Breedlove was booked into the Dallas County Jail later that day, and bail was set at $76,000. He posted that bail early Sunday. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Police in Toronto, Canada are not ruling out terrorism as a motive for a man who walked down a busy street and fired in the restaurants and cafes, shooting and killing 14 people. This eyewitness describes the scene.
I thought it was fireworks at first, because it was a rapid fire where people were running, and so we started running and we ran down a side street.
The attacker did die after exchanging gunfire with police. You're listening to USA Radio News.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the...
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Good afternoon. Weather today, showers, possible thunderstorms. Some of those storms could produce a heavy rainfall. Today's high is going to be near around 82. Southeast winds around 10 miles an hour. And a chance of precipitation is 80%. Tonight, showers, possible thunderstorms, same deal. Before 3 a.m. and after 3 a.m. could produce heavy rain. Patchy fog after 1 a.m. And a low is going to be around 71. And your chance of precipitation is 80%. Tuesday, guess what? Showers. Likely and possible a thunderstorm, mostly cloudy with a high around 82. Southeast winds 8 to 11 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. Tuesday night, showers. Guess what? And it could be before 9 o'clock and after 9 o'clock and before 3 a.m. and after 3 a.m. Chance of precipitation is 70%. And the new rainfall amounts could be a quarter or to a half of an inch. Pardon me. Wednesdays, showers likely, possible thunderstorms. Some storms could produce heavy rain. Rainfall amounts could be between 1 and 2 inches. Wednesday night, showers, and it looks like the rest of the week, showers. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even they have it into Sunday as a chance of showers. So on that happy note, we'll move on. And this is the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us two nice ladies. We have with us Kathy Conroy, is it?
That is, yes.
All right. And Cindy, I never got your last name, but that's okay.
Okay.
Since you didn't want to talk that much anyway. Kathy, you're with the blood donor recruiter, is that correct?
That's my title, yes, exactly.
What does a blood donor recruiter do?
Basically gets people in to donate blood.
Will you drag them in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cindy goes and flags them down in front of the hospital.
I do. Yeah.
It's phone calls, emails. It's constant, a lot of phone calls.
Well, you know, I ask this of just about everybody because I'm always interested. Some people, you know, I ask them how they got in this line of work, and some people say, oh, such and such happened when I was 10 and I always wanted to be a nurse or I always wanted to be a doctor or whatever. And other people, like me, I had four kids, a mortgage, car payments, taxes. You know, I needed a job and thank God Wonder Bread came along. I just curious, how did you get into this blood donor thing?
By chance, really. I worked retail for 25 years, my whole life, basically, my whole working life.
And retail doing what?
Selling jewelry, watches,
okay.
Mostly watches,
okay.
High-end watches. So I was familiar with working with people and communicating, mm-hmm. You know, that's
right.
What I did all day, every day.
Right.
And I saw this job, and I was like, you know what, it was time for a change. And I said, you know what, it's kind of like a PR thing, you know, talking to people. And I said, I can do that. Yeah. And it was a perfect time for the change, and I love it. I love the gratification of getting the people in and having a successful donation.
Right, right.
And people are just so willing, and so they have a great sense of satisfaction after donating.
Right, right.
Sure. They're helping themselves as well
of
as
course.
Helping donors.
Right. Helping
patients,
yeah.
Right.
All right, Cindy, I'm going to ask you, how'd you get into this?
How did I get into this? I started out in the nursing program, and I decided that isn't what I wanted, so I wanted something more on the science related.
Okay.
So I just I like dealing with people, and I like helping them. So mm-hmm. I just decided, you know what, let me try this. So here I am. Here I am now, and that's it.
Well, that's great. You like it?
I love it, too.
Good.
I love it. I love the people.
You know, I think it's great when people get into a position and they like what they're doing and they enjoy it, because then it comes out. You know, when they're dealing with people, it automatically comes out. And I'm sure you know yourself. You can tell when somebody's happy with their job and when they're not, you know, and, sure. You know, it's nice to know that you're happy doing it, you know. So you have to drag people in to give blood.
No. Yeah, we advertise. We advertise on social media. We advertise in local papers.
Well, what's the blood donation type thing like? I know I've given blood many, many, many times.
Okay.
And they've eventually told me I couldn't give it anymore because I had prostate cancer, and they cured the prostate cancer, but they wouldn't let me give blood anymore.
You know, you actually, after 1 year cancer-free, the parameters have changed.
Oh, I've been 7 years cancer-free.
As long as your doctor says you can. If your doctor says don't do it, then don't do it, obviously.
No, the doctors never said it. It was the people that I went to donate. They said I couldn't.
Oh, well, that's changed. Now it's 1 year cancer-free.
Yeah, I was seven, almost 8 years cancer-free.
Well, good for you.
But then again, my age may have something to do with it, too. You know.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but what I'm going to say is 75 or older, we require a note from your physician. Basically,
well, gee, I'm under that.
Okay.
Not by much, but I'm under it.
So, see, all we would need is a note from your physician that you're over 1 year cancer-free.
Yeah, well. Maybe.
And come on in. I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to leave without getting you. Okay.
But then what, you know, like, what's the process like?
It's so easy.
I mean, I know what it's like, having done it so many times, but, you know, gotten little plaques and stuff for all the blood I donated, you know, and all that jazz. But for people out there that may not have ever done it, you know, what is the process like?
It's so simple. It's only 30 to 40 minutes out of your day. You could just come in, answer questions. It's a series of 47 questions, I believe, now. Nothing too difficult.
What are some of the questions? I mean, you know,
some of the questions. You have to have something in your stomach. You have to have food.
Right,
you know, obviously,
right.
We don't want to take you on an empty stomach within 4 hours. There's a lot of different questions. The things that most people may get deferred for, let's say tattoos and piercings in the past year.
Okay.
They've had tattoos or piercings. It's not necessarily a deferral. If it's in state that you had the tattoo or piercing and we have a letter from the facility where you've had it done, there's no deferral. And the letter has to be, mm-hmm. basically they're sterile, single-use needles and all that. Out of state, automatic 1 year deferral.
I'm sorry.
Any heart or lung problems, you know, that's one of the questions. And if there's most things are acceptable, like let's say asthma or heart murmur, that's all acceptable. Anything mm-hmm. else with the heart or with lungs, we would need a note from the physician.
Okay.
Just making sure, you know, that everything's okay. Travel outside of the country in the past year. We asked for 3 years, but the last year is the most important. Make sure you didn't go to malaria risk area.
Right, right.
There's so many different medications. We have to look at a deferral list for medications. There's educational materials to read. It's very informative.
What medications or what generalization of medications would prevent someone from giving blood?
Anticoagulants. You know, the blood thinners.
Yeah, that definitely. I know what you're talking about.
Prostate medication.
Okay.
What else, Cindy? I'm trying to think.
Cancer
medications.
Okay.
Even if you're
that makes sense,
free.
Though. Yeah, that makes sense.
Accutane for acne. They're all... None of them are totally unacceptable, but you just need to be off of it for a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
depending
mm-hmm.
on the medication.
Right. then I don't know. They have a question here. Does donating blood hurt? Well,
you tell them.
No, you know, I firmly believe that it depends on who's taking the blood. I've had where I was, they tell me I have a high tolerance for pain. And it was one or two times when I almost screamed. Oh. But, and other times when I never even felt the needle.
Right.
You know, I am on warfarin, so there's no way I could donate blood.
Gotcha.
But they take my blood once every 4 or 5 weeks. And 9 times out of 10, the people who take it in the lab there at the hospital, I don't even feel it. You know, every now and then they'll have somebody that's training, and they'll say, "Can you? Would you allow him to take your blood or her take your blood?"
Right.
I said, "Sure." And then I'm going, "God."
You know? Well, you don't have to.
I know, but I mean, you know, how are they going to learn if they don't
do
it?
You got to learn somehow, right?
Right. They're going to learn somehow. So, but and like I said, they tell me I have a high tolerance of pain. So if I'm not screaming, but if I'm, you know, scrunching up, then you know it hurts, and other people may, you know, yell a little louder.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, you know yourself, it's what? That little pit, that pinch, maybe
right.
a big pinch. Most
right.
of the time, it's a little pinch, and that's it. You're not going to feel it coming
yeah.
out.
No.
You don't feel
nope.
anything else.
Nope. Nope, right? not at all.
And our phlebotomists have been there for a very long time. That's all they do all day long. So, you know,
right.
I have to say, they're great.
Right. Is there a certain blood type that you need more than others, or...
Oh, absolutely. O negative is the universal blood type.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can get O negative. And it's rare. So
yeah.
actually, in this week in particular, any O negative, O positive. It all depends on what our patients are using, because the blood is used for our patients only.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
go anywhere else. So, but like I said, in particular this week, excuse me, we need O positive and O negative. So... it's because our supplier also is very low. Summer. Mm. Summer, it's very slow.
Yeah.
Summer's the
hardest
time.
I can understand
time.
That.
Summer and around the holidays in December.
Sure.
Slowest time, which
sure.
is understandable.
Right, right. If people are donating to, like, the Red Cross, what's the difference between the Red Cross and the medical center?
We're our own... you know, entity, basically. You know,
okay.
Like I said, you're donating for people.
People
that are
who
in
are
the
in the hospital
center.
At the medical center,
right?
Basically.
And the people that are in the hospital at the medical center are your local community,
right?
So you're doing a wonderful thing for. It could be your neighbor. You're not
right.
going to know who it is,
right.
obviously.
Right.
But
obviously.
You know, you're doing it. Right. It's right there. It's not going anywhere. We're not selling it off anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we're constantly trying to get more and more from donors. So. Because we don't get 100% from our donors.
Right, right.
From donors, I should say.
And Cindy was mouthing to you something over there.
Yeah. Just that we can't stress enough that the blood is only... So that's the difference. You know, the Red Cross is selling it off to what other hospitals or what other blood centers need it.
Right.
So that's the big difference.
It is a difference, actually, when you think about it. You
it's
know,
a huge difference.
If you're trying to help, and that's what giving blood is about, is helping people.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be more lucrative to help people in your community?
Right.
You know, than have the Red Cross. Well, that the Red Cross can't sell the blood that they get. I mean, but
right.
It's just.
And you know what it is too, Larry? The blood drives that you see out there with the Red Cross or other people that have the mobile units. Because we unfortunately don't have the mobile units, so we have to rely on people coming to us.
Right.
The advantage is also, I don't schedule too many people at one time, where you really don't have to wait. I'm a big advocate for not waiting.
Okay.
I want to get the people in. I don't want to, you know, I want to make it nice and easy and quick as possible for them, so they'll come back.
Right.
But when you go to a blood drive, you can be in line, you know, depending on where it is and how busy they are. You're waiting in line.
Right,
and you're just
right.
waiting and waiting, and we get you in and out as quick as possible.
And, you know, it's if you're going to get them in and out quick as possible, then that would make more sense for them to, you know, make an appointment with you.
Right.
You know.
Oh, many of them do.
Yeah, rather than just walk. I mean, sure, you take the walk-ins too if you can, but
yes, I do my best. I don't turn anybody away.
Right.
You know.
Right. But, I mean, it would be better if they made appointments, correct?
It'd be more convenient for the donor, right?
Right, for them.
Because of that reason.
Sure, exactly.
Absolutely.
How would they go about making that? Who would they call? Or?
They call, yeah.
What? Who would they call?
They call me. The phone number is 908-788-6405. That comes right to me. I get
okay,
back
that's
to you.
908-788?
Yes.
6405?
That's it.
Hey, how about that? I remembered it.
Good. They can email me also if some people want to email me. That's CCONROY at HHSNJ.org. So CCONROY at HHSNJ.org.
Okay.
That's my email.
All right. And, you know, and what are the hours that you guys are doing this?
We are open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. and Fridays, 9 a.m. to 12:30.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Hunter Medical Center Show, and we're talking about blood donation. We'll be back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today Kathy Conroy and Cindy. I won't go with your last name. I'll just go with Cindy if you don't mind.
Oh, it's fine.
And they're from the Hunterdon Medical Center, and they are involved with blood donors. And you wanted to mention something before we during a break you had said. So go ahead. Go ahead, Cindy.
Just to take note that it only takes 4 to 8 minutes out of your life to donate a pint of blood, technically. I mean, that's it. So 4 to 8 minutes out of your whole life, you can do this. Anybody could do this. Give it a shot. Try it.
Right, like I said, 30 to 40 minutes, that's the registration, that's doing the physical.
Right.
Because we have to take your vitals and make sure everything's within range, the hemoglobin, pulse,
yep.
blood pressure, temperature, right. all that, because you have to be within range, which is most people are. And like she said, 48 minutes, that needle's in the arm, and we have the TV to distract you, so you don't even have to look if some people are a little bit squeamish. In most cases, when they're done, they're like, I was worried about that. That was so easy. You don't have to do anything but sit there.
Yeah, right, right. Having had my blood taken many times, it's like, it's not, it's not a big deal.
And the more you do it, it's less of a big deal.
Right, right, exactly. There was there something else you guys wanted to talk about specifically, I think?
We have an apheresis program.
Okay.
Okay, which simply, the principles are the same as donating blood. I mean, if you pass this criteria, you pass all the same criteria. But for apheresis, we take out 2 units of blood, or we'll take out a unit of blood and a platelet. The advantage to this is it's we can get 2 products for one with one needle, which mm-hmm. is, we take out what we want.
What, the centrifuge?
Yeah, we centrifuge. It's basically the instrument, the machine or instrument that we use is a big centrifuge, and it just sort of spins. You're hooked up to a tube, to a needle in a process. It just spins around, and we'll take out blood, and we'll take out a platelet. That's basically what we like to do, or 2 red cells. Again, I reiterate.
What is a platelet?
Platelets are... let's see. They're actually fragments of pieces from a large blood cell.
Okay.
And at the first sign of damage in your blood vessels, platelets swing into action. They're responsible for the clotting
okay.
purposes. Okay. So cancer patients use a lot of platelets. And doing a blood and a platelet together helps us out a lot. And...
Yeah, or even 2 red cells.
Red cells.
So the difference is the one donation is whole blood,
mm-hmm.
and the instrument with the centrifuge, we're taking just the red cells, so it's already separated.
A blood and a platelet probably takes about an hour, up to an hour, and a lot of people don't have that time to sit. They don't want to do that, but it is really beneficial for us that they do that. 2 red cells, it takes about 40 minutes, a double red cell. So as compared to by the time you get done with doing a regular donation, it's like a half an hour. So why not sit an extra 10 minutes or, another?
And what do you do with that when you do that? I mean, why is it beneficial to you as an organization to have that done?
So we don't have to order out and have more of a cost type. It's a lot of a cost. We have the instrument to do that. Why can't we use it? Why can't we, have these people do this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, it's just beneficial to have 2 products instead of 1.
Okay.
Or you can get up to 3, but we just do 2.
Okay. How often can someone donate blood?
Every 56 days, basically.
Okay, so once every 2 months.
Yeah, basically 2 months. But like Cindy was saying, if you do the double red cells, that's double the time. So
right.
that's basically 4 months because we're taking
right, right,
double
right.
product. And same with the blood and
a
platelet.
A blood and platelet is just 56 days. We're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty much, that is just pretty much the same as just
the
donating
same
the blood.
The whole blood, right.
Right. Okay. Who can donate blood? Is there like an age you have to be above?
Yes, 17 or older.
Okay.
17 or older to donate blood. At least 100, and I mean, the parameters are like 110 pounds, but a lot depends on the blood volume. You could be 110 pounds and 6 foot tall. That's not enough blood volume in your body. So if you're 6 foot tall, you do have to be heavier.
Okay.
So... because everybody, depending on size, has probably, what, 8 to 12 pints in their body.
Right.
So you're donating one. Within 3 days, your body remakes that blood.
So, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. All right. Even though there's just 56 days in between, within
right.
3 days, you'll have that blood.
Right. Back. Right.
Yeah, so, and basically good health, you know, being good health. And
they do a physical. We do a physical on you every time you come in. It's
right.
like a little mini physical. Your temperature, your pulse, your blood pressure. What else?
Hemoglobin,
your iron content.
Iron. Mm-hmm.
So,
And we do your cholesterol for you also. We do that afterwards, after you donate, and we send you a letter afterwards with your vitals and with your cholesterol, so you get an idea where your cholesterol's at.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people keep track of that
for
years and years.
Yeah, they do.
And then when they go to the doctor, they see if it's similar.
Try to compare it with
yeah.
what the doctor's
done.
But, you know, it's amazing because, you know, just you get weighed at the doctor, and a lot of people weigh themselves at home, and they go to the doctor, and it's like, you know, 7 pounds different or, you know, and everybody's going, oh, my God, you know.
Well, all scales are different.
Yeah, they are, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, but it was kind of interesting. My wife just recently went to the doctor, and one of our doctors in the medical center, and she weighed herself that morning before she left, you know, with clothes on and everything,
right.
so she'd be the same when she got there. I think it was three pounds different between the doctor's scale and hers. So, hey, that's not bad, you know, that's pretty
not
good,
bad.
You know, so it's scary when I go.
Well, that's a woman thing, weighing yourself.
Yeah. But it's, now, how can I say? What, do you find that some people who donate the blood only like do it once and then don't come back?
Unfortunately, there are some people that do that. That's where my job comes in, and I need to call and email and basically not harass, but try to get them to come back and, you know.
In your opinion, what is the reason that they don't come back? I mean, they went once, so they evidently want to donate it.
Time. A lot of people, even though it's not doesn't take a long time out of your day, a lot of people, you know, it's a busy lives. Everybody's multitasking, everybody's working, and sometimes one, two jobs. Sometimes,
yeah.
you know, and people are busy, and I get that.
And a lot of times they like the companies that come to them. You know, the businesses that come to them. And
yes.
that's, unfortunately, we don't have that. But it's not going to take that long for them to come to us, to the medical center and do it. It's not going to take that long. Try it once. If you don't like it, don't do it again. But try it.
Yeah. We do have companies that just, Flemington Car and Truck is a big one. We try to do it twice a year, a blood drive. We set aside a whole week where their employees can come in and donate. And they do.
Yeah.
They really help us out a lot.
Right, right.
And we have another small company that comes in. You know, they come in every like 3 months or so. So we're trying to get more companies to do that. I do get people that call and ask, but a lot of the people want the units to go to them.
Yeah.
So I try to explain to them, you know what, we have a nice atmosphere. It's just going to be them. I order food, we have coffee, we have tea, we have food, we have conversation, before you know it, they're in and out.
Right. I don't know. That's me. I don't understand why, you know, it takes too long. What?
It's
you know?
Really not.
You know?
And you know, most people that are saying that have never done it before. And you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, are afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, well.
Try it, you like it.
Try it, you like it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you say, boy, that's what I was worried about. That was so easy. Yeah, I say that all
it
the
is,
time.
It is, and it's just,
and it
you know,
really is.
It's just,
it's
I don't know,
simple.
You know. Maybe I'm of a different culture because I have blood taken out so much, you know,
right.
that it doesn't, you know. In fact, I volunteer at the hospitals on Friday, so if I'm going to get my blood done, I get it done Friday. I just get out of the lab and have it done, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And, you know, so it's.
Yeah. But, and you know what it is, too, I think, Larry? A lot of people don't understand the importance of it.
Yeah.
Because, of you know, blood can't be manufactured. Right. So we have to rely on humans.
Sure, sure.
You know, so I don't think, unless, God forbid, you know, there's a tragedy or they need blood themselves, they don't understand the importance of it.
Right, right.
And
it's a shame how, you know, like yourself, your group, how it goes down, you know, the supply goes down,
sure.
You know, and that you're low, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I don't say you have to choose then who you give it to, but you have to, you know, it's like kind of tough because you don't have a lot, you know.
Right. So. And low because the time of year, like I said, but also we can have, you know, one or two patients that take 20 units. I mean, that's... depending on what's going on. You know, you never know what's going to happen day by day.
Absolutely. Right.
So it's constant trying to keep the supply.
Right. Sin, did you find something over there?
You know what I'm just saying? In the United States, red cell, somebody's going to need a red cell transfusion. Like what? They need it like every 2 to 3 seconds?
Isn't that amazing?
That's one of the statistics. 1 in 3 people are going to need a blood transfusion in their life at some point. That's another.
And another importance, what amazes me, the statistic, if only 1% of more people would donate blood, the shortage would be gone.
Hmm. That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
1% more.
Right. Right.
That's it.
And trust me, folks, I've donated. They take blood from me almost every month.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal. I'm in and out in, you know, no time at all. It's, you know... So,
if you do a apheresis donation, it's one-on-one. Someone's with you the whole time. So that's kind of, you have a TV, you have that. Try it. You'll like it. I guarantee. I can't guarantee, but you should try it.
Right.
And people don't realize, too, blood doesn't last forever. It's perishable. It's only 2 days.
Exactly.
That's it. And platelets are five days.
Five days.
What's blood? How much did you say?
42 days
okay.
for blood.
Yeah. Well, that's... not a long time.
It's really not.
You know,
platelets only last 5 days.
Five days.
Right.
You draw it on a Monday, it's going out by Saturday, you're done. You're finished. You know what I mean?
Right.
It has to be given to somebody.
Right. We have about 2 more minutes.
Okay.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to cover? And you can give your email and phone number again if you want.
Sure. Phone number, 908-788-6405. Email cconroy@hhsnj.org. Very simple.
Okay.
Try it. 4 minutes. Four to 8 minutes out of your life. Try it.
Is there anything we haven't covered that you want to cover in the last minute?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. What do you think, Cindy?
We're good. I think we got it all.
I'm trying to think. I think we might have covered it all.
Okay.
Oh, 3 lives can be saved with one unit of blood. That, I think, is amazing.
Did you hear that, folks?
3 lives.
3 lives can be saved with one unit of blood. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That is amazing.
Fact.
Well, folks, go out there, Hunterdon Medical Center, and give them a call. And, you know, you can donate the blood. All right.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Come and see us.
If I could again, I would. But I can't.
Well, you will see volunteering.
Yeah, I'll see you volunteering.
Yes. Stop by and say hello.
Now, anyway, this has been Medical Center's Hour, and we appreciate it. And we will see you next week, same time, same station. Have a good week, and donate blood.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County. Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street,
Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Grants for Head Start programs. The president of the NAACP in Spokane has resigned amid questions about whether she lied about her racial identity. The parents of Rachel Dolezal have said she has falsely portrayed herself as black for years, even though she's actually white. Chapter member Kitiera Johnson, who led the petition asking for Dolezal's resignation, says she should be forgiven, but she shouldn't be head of the NAACP there.
We don't care what color she is. That doesn't matter. But what does matter is the type of leader that you are. Integrity does matter.
Dolezal has been a longtime figure in Spokane's human rights community and teaches African studies to college students. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The Supreme Court won't review an abortion case from North Carolina involving ultrasounds. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
The High Court has left in place a federal appeals court decision that struck down a North Carolina law. It had required abortion providers to display and describe an ultrasound to the pregnant woman before she had an abortion. The federal appeals court found the 2011 law requiring the so-called narrated ultrasound was ideological in intent and violated doctors' free speech rights. Reproductive rights groups praised the High Court, saying it is keeping politics out of the exam room. Jerry Bodlander, Washington.
Military officials say two people are hospitalized after gunfire broke out at an entrance to the Little Rock Air Force Base in Arkansas. They say the shots were fired when a civilian tried to enter the base. Police say the would-be intruder was injured and taken into custody. The base was placed on lockdown. Another juror in the Colorado Theater shooting trial has been dismissed. The judge today granted a defense motion to dismiss a woman whose brother-in-law was shot in an armed robbery in Denver last week. Three other jurors were released last week over concerns they were exposed to media reports and may not have been truthful about it. 20 jurors and alternates are left to decide the fate of James Holmes. Amnesty International says world leaders have abandoned millions of refugees and left them to die by failing to provide basic human protections. They are urging world leaders to overhaul refugee policies. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And the weather today, chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 85. West winds around 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is about 50%. And the new rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible during the thunderstorms. Tonight, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before midnight. And it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 71. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And a chance of precipitation tonight is 40%. Tuesday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly afternoon. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 88. Southwest winds 3 to 7 miles an hour. And the chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday night, it'll be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low around 63. North winds 3 to 5 miles an hour, and Wednesday should be sunny with a high near 83. And Wednesday night, there'll be a chance of showers. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And in Jersey, there in New Jersey, there's a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we are all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We work out of our homes, use our own phones, etc. And we try to help people and families
who may have someone in their family who has a mental health issue, or someone themselves who has a mental health issue and is trying to get through their, you know, on with their life. We do this by teaching classes. We have a family-to-family class for families who have someone in their family who is 18 and above who has a mental health issue. We run support groups, places where people can come and accept it, be accepted and not judged. And everybody in our support group has either been there, done that, or are still going through it. So nobody judges anybody. And we do a basics class for, that's about 7 weeks, for families who have children, 17 and younger, who are suffering from ADHD or anxiety or whatever. And I have to say, all our classes are free. We don't charge for anything. Books, pamphlets, everything is free. And so it's, if you know someone and would need someone to reach out to, you can call our number. It is 908-284-0500. And you won't get a live person, but we do check the phone every day. So within 10 to 12 hours, you'll get a call back. We are very privileged today to have with us Dr. Marla Deibler. And she is a licensed clinical psychologist, and she's the founder and executive director of the Center for Emotional Health of Greater Philadelphia in Cherry Hill and also in Princeton, New Jersey. Dr. Deibler has been on Dr. Oz and AE, Hoarders, CBS, ABC, Fox News, and she's had articles in New York Times and other major newspapers, and she's been on this show before. Doctor, are you there?
I am.
Okay, very good. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't hit the wrong button and disconnect you. Doctor, you and your organization and people that you work with, you specialize in like anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive disorder, and a number of related disorders. Could you sort of like take us through these disorders and the symptoms?
Sure. So we specialize in two different families of disorders for the most part. There are the anxiety disorders family, which include disorders like generalized anxiety disorder, which is very common. That is essentially worries, rumination about numerous areas of your life that you find difficult to control and that negatively impact your daily functioning and cause clinically significant distress. Then there are other disorders like panic disorder, which is characterized by recurrent panic attacks and anticipation, anxiety about the anticipation of having future panic attacks, and agoraphobia, which is sometimes related to that, which is essentially anxiety about open spaces. So oftentimes people with panic disorder, for example, have difficulty out in open spaces where getting assistance or escape would be difficult. So, for example, waiting in a grocery line might be particularly stressful and may bring on a lot of anxiety or possibly a panic attack. So anxiety disorders like those, for example, and then the obsessive compulsive and related disorders, which include things like obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD, which is characterized by obsessions and compulsions, to habit disorders like trichotillomania, which is a hair pulling disorder, and excoriation disorder, which is a skin picking disorder, as well as body dysmorphic disorder, which is a hyperfocus on part of the body that seems to be defective or problematic in some way to the point where it causes extreme distress and impairment in one's life.
But is it defective in their point of view or in general? In other words, if they look at a mirror,
a distorted perception, right, of their body. So,
okay,
for example,
right,
they may feel that they are horrendous looking because their nose is crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, other people don't really see it.
Right.
It seems within normal,
right,
range.
You know what I found very interesting? Not too long ago, I found out that Thomas Jefferson had, how do you say it, agoraphobia? The fear
agoraphobia.
Of, yeah, fear of going into a room with a lot of people and... which I find was amazing since he was president. But also I found out that when he was help writing the Declaration of Independence, he would get a hold of Ben Franklin and meet Franklin on a corner, hand him the papers, and Jefferson would go back to his where he was writing in his room or whatever, and Franklin would take it to the committee. And I thought that was very interesting, and that's something that I learned up in Philadelphia when we went on a little tour up there. But he could stand on a balcony and talk to 3,000 people, but he'd have trouble going in a room with 10, you know, which I found very interesting, you know.
That is interesting, yeah. I mean, that could be certainly a number of things. It could be agoraphobia, could be social phobia, could be claustrophobia, hard to say. But definitely it sounds like some anxiety there.
Right, definitely. And, you know, and they said that, you know, that he had this. And so it wasn't something that, you know, somebody just made up. It was actually there when you were going through, you know, the area and, you know, so on and so forth. So it was, I found that very interesting. But then again, if you look, we do some presentations pretty much monthly for Educational Services Commission. And when we put a screen, we have a PowerPoint, and we put a screen on the wall of, you know, all these famous people who in some way or other had mental health issues. Yes, there's a lot of musicians. Yes, there's a lot of actresses and so on and so forth. But to see that, you know, like Buzz Aldrin, walked on the moon, suffers from severe depression, you know. Things like that just amaze me, you know, that somebody that could do these things that they've done in their life and achieve in their life and still, you know, have a problem, you know. And there's a lot of presidents on there, too, you know. So just thought
Absolutely.
I'd throw that out.
Because you struggle with a mental health issue doesn't mean that you're not capable of great things. Certainly.
No, right, exactly. I know that you have been on A&E Hoarder Show. Has hoarding always been a disorder, or has it been recently added due to TV shows and publicity it's been receiving?
Yeah, hoarding has kind of come into its own in recent years. I'm sure part of that is due to the media's attention to it. But in terms of treatment and being able to access treatment, I think that's been a really beneficial thing. Hoarding disorder became a legitimate disorder with a name last year with the publication of the DSM-5, which is our diagnostic
right.
manual for mental health,
which
came
is about
out last
2 foot
May,
thick.
More than a year ago now. Prior to that, it was mentioned as a possible symptom of obsessive compulsive personality disorder. It's sort of just a byline and afterthought kind of a thing, but it really does seem to be its own distinct disorder that requires very specific treatment, different way of addressing it than you would those other problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I have noticed, I looked at the DM5 and couldn't believe how thick it was. You know, like, gee, really? You know, it'd take me 6 months to read this, you know. And probably wouldn't understand
yes.
half of it, you know.
That's actually been kind of a criticism of it, in that each volume it sort of grows and grows and grows. But I think that really just speaks to the need for more mental health research and more effort to understanding these different struggles that people have so that we can better characterize it and better distinguish them so that we can develop more and more effective treatment.
Right. I agree. 100%. The repetitive behaviors, I have trouble pronouncing it, so I'll just call hair pulling, nail biting, skin picking. Is this done? Well, let me ask you, for what reason do the people do these things? Is it a various reasons?
It's really different
or?
For everyone
right,
in
okay.
terms of the function of the behavior. They are compulsive disorders in that people feel an urge to engage in the behavior, and they have a difficult time stopping the behavior. They don't experience it as painful. It's not intentionally destructive or self-injurious. They're just sort of habits gone awry, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're habits that have gone awry that people generally really want to stop because they don't like the long-term negative consequences, like the hair loss or the skin damage or
right.
the skin infections, but it's very difficult to stop it because they are pleasurable in some way, at least at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Would cutting fall within that spectrum?
Cutting doesn't. No, cutting is actually a self-injurious behavior that is really considered very different. People usually engage in cutting because they feel overwhelmed but numb, and cutting is a way for them to experience pain, which is something that they describe as sort of being a release because it helps sort of break that numbness.
Right.
But these other habit behaviors like hair pulling and skin picking, they're really not experienced that way. They're experienced as feeling good or feeling like a little bit of a relief from tension or stress or anxiety, and it really isn't experienced in the same way, and it isn't treated the same way either.
Okay.
Really.
Okay. I used to work up until recently part-time, one day a week at the hospital, and they required me to go into the they call it too central, but it's like a lockup ward, and talk to the patients. And since my son, my youngest son, we have four children, I believe I mentioned before one time that my youngest son is paranoid schizophrenia,